Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, a classic attraction has resurfaced, more wait time options in Disney California Adventure, an electrical parade promo.
Get your day started with some Nightmare Before Christmas. We talk with legendary Disney Imagineer Terry Harden and more. DL Weekly starts now.
Howdy, partners. For your safety, remain seated with your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast. And be sure to watch your ears. If any of you folks are wearing hats or glasses, best remove them, because Tag and Teresa have the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of July 27th, 2022. I'm Tag Bushman.
And I'm Teresa Urban. We would like to thank all current weekly tiers for supporting the show. Without your support, DL Weekly would not be possible. Your support ensures that the podcast will continue and that we can make it out to the parks more often to bring you the latest and greatest news and information right from the parks. If you would like to become an official weekly tier, head on over to dlweekly.net/support to sign up.
Well, it's that time again for our friend Eric over at Concierge to catch us up on other Disney news.
Hello, everyone. This is Eric Johnson with Concierge, and welcome to the D180. While Teg and Teresa cover all things Disneyland, in the D180, we take a spin around the rest of the Disney universe, and we do it in 180 seconds. Let's jump right in. We start our journey in Walt Disney World, where we finally have a release date. No, not for the Tron ride, for the newest plus in the Disney catalog, Magic Band Plus. Most guests are familiar with Magic Bands, the decorative and collectible way to access your park tickets, enter your hotel room, and make purchases. Well, get ready to do even more with your wearables. Magic Band Plus will release on July 27th. The new designs contain color-changing lights, vibrations, gesture recognition, and open up a new realm of interactivity in the parks. The new bands will launch with 25 different designs and sell for about $35. You're sure to find them at each of the four parks, at Disney Springs, or even at the resort hotels. Hotel guests will also be able to pre-purchase the new bands with a bit of a discount as well. How about those interactive experiences? When the bands launch, there will be three main events. Tying in with the 50th anniversary, you can sprinkle pixie dust over each of the 50 statues commemorating Disney characters and get reactions from them. I have no idea what this means, but it sounds cool. If you like the Play Disney Parks app experiences in Galaxy's Edge, you will love the new Batuu Bounty Hunters experience. Search for nefarious characters on the planet. Your band will light up and vibrate to help you find your way, and augmented reality in the app will help you capture them. Finally, look forward to interaction with various nighttime spectaculars. The big shows, Disney Enchantment and Harmonious at the Magic Kingdom in Epcot, will sync up with the bands both visually and vibratally. That's a word, right? Vibratally? The four parks' Beacons of Light shows will also contain some interactions with the bands. No word yet on when Disneyland is going to get their own magic bands, but this is the first time that Disney has ever committed to bringing the wearables west. Head over to Epcot to enjoy this year's Food and Wine Festival. The fest is open early again this year, no surprise, and runs through November 19th. While there are plenty of favorite dishes hitting the scene, Disney's chefs have replaced about one-third of the menu with new items to try. Grab your festival passport to help guide you through the bevy of options. Remember the year that they put the passport on Facebook and you had to check into kiosks to earn badges? Yeah. And we complain about being on our phones too much nowadays. Some of those new experiences include Belgium's kiosk, which will now open early at 8:30. They're ready to satiate that sweet tooth in the morning with waffles, berries, and specialty coffee. There's also a new kiosk called the Fry Basket that offers a flight of French fries. Can't wait to give that one a try. We will, of course, see new festival merch across accessories, apparel, kitchen items, including a very fetch orange bird tote from Loungefly. There's also a new kitchenware collection themed to Princess Tiana and her culinary skills. All right, enough out of you, Walt Disney World. It's time to head back to Disneyland Paris, where their new Avengers campus is officially open. I've covered a fair portion of this before, but it truly is a sight to behold. Take the Disneyland campus and add in the blessing of size. More restaurants. Pym Lab still functions as a kitchen, but there's also a new Stark building serving quality pizzas. More rides. The old rock and roller coaster has become an Avengers adventure with a new Iron Man animatronic. They even host character greetings in a space ringed with cameras designed to capture your coolest superhero poses. leap in the air with Spider-Man, do that cool hair flip that Black Widow does, come up with your own signature move, and then go stay a few nights in the Hotel New York, The Art of Marvel. This newly rethemed and very long titled hotel is packed with comic book art and even more encounters with your favorite heroes. Take that, Disneyland Resort. And that's 180 seconds. I hope you enjoyed our quick spin around the rest of the Disney universe. If you would like to learn more about these Disney adventures or just have a few questions, please come on over. Visit the social media and websites of both DL Weekly and us, their official travel planners, concierge. We look forward to planning something special for you and your family. I'm Eric Johnson, and this has been your D180.
Thanks, Eric.
Well, we have some exciting news to celebrate our recent interview with Fletch. We have partnered with The Op to give away to two lucky weekly tiers some really awesome prizes. They include the Core Pack. They're the core game for Disney's Sorcerer's Arena Epic Alliance, plus the first expansion pack. So again, two lucky weekly tiers will be winning this prize. To learn more about the giveaway and to enter, please head on over to our website at dlweekly.net to submit. We do have an extra bonus for all of you wonderful listeners. Make sure when you enter to use code word FLUBBER in your entry. This will give you double entry into the drawing. So good luck to all of you weekly tiers. We're very excited about this. Winners will be announced on Monday, August 8th.
Now let's get to the news.
An updated classic has returned this week to Tomorrowland. The Finding Nemo submarine voyage has set sail again, taking guests on a voyage under the seas to find Nemo and his friends. The attraction has been closed for over 2.5 years, since before the COVID shutdown, and was planned to come back in the winter of 2021, but was extended until this week. Other than the refreshed look and Hank on the surface, not too much has been updated.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously, the kinetic energy we've talked about before, even before the attraction reopened with it moving around, is really awesome. The videos I saw, did you watch Fresh Baked video?
I did.
He was giddy.
He was so excited about
the
return.
teasing him a little bit because I was showing James it a little bit because we had just a few minutes in between some stuff. So I put that on to kind of have something on in the background. And I was like, James, look at how excited he is.
He was like a kid in a candy shop. I thought it was so charming.
It was charming.
And David even said, you know, this is not like a favorite attraction, but it is. It's really, you know, it's not a favorite attraction of mine, but it is still really exciting because this was one of the final ride type attractions to come back since COVID.
Yeah.
Now I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like the only thing we're missing is some live entertainment things. But I feel like everything else, you know, it's kind of like it was like almost like it was the final puzzle piece.
Oh, you said entertainment things. Because I was going to say Magic Happens hasn't come back.
Aside from entertainment, I think for like physical ride through attractions.
Gotcha.
This was the final, like putting the final piece in the puzzle.
So here's the real question. Exciting. Are you riding this?
I will ride it. Yeah. Just two.
Did you also notice David's video that they're not bench seats?
They're still the same. Yeah.
But James and I were talking about this. They fold down mm-hmm. because you have to be able to walk.
Yep.
So there's really not room for a bench.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always forget how cramped they are. It is not my favorite attraction either, but I feel like we owe it to the subs.
Yeah.
To take a spin.
Do you know what else James said about watching the video? He goes, this is a long attraction because we were, mm-hmm. while he was doing like the ride through of it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, like I forget how there's some really interesting technology that's use there, and I forget about that.
We'll judge when we go and experience it in person, but it did look to me like the lighting was better, because I felt last time I had ridden it that some of the scenes were a bit dark, mm-hmm. Especially like the scenes with the sharks. I don't remember seeing as much set detail on that before. I just remember really seeing the shark projections. So I don't know if David just had a really, like, if it was just his camera was picking it up better than what it looks like, or if the lighting was actually updated. I thought he said the lighting felt the same to him, though. So
I also laughed because he did the picture-in-picture of watching the sub go around. I was like, well, that's kind of
silly.
You
know what? I thought that was fun, because then I'm like, oh, that's where Darla is, and oh, that's where the giant clams are, because I don't have a really good sense of where I am in an attraction compared to like what it is that I'm experiencing in an attraction, if that makes sense.
The only other thing I want to say about this is one of the reasons I'm kind of turned off to the attraction is it's very low capacity. So you have to wait a long time. If it was a faster loading kind of thing, I think that more people that would enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do like Disney World's version. They do not have the subs, but they do have a Finding Nemo themed attraction. And
in Epcot.
Yep, in Epcot. And I like the ride vehicle system a little bit better just because it is higher capacity. It's like the Dune Buggies. Mm-hmm. It's, or like Ariel's Under the Sea Adventure, the little clamshells. So it's just easier to get on and off in a much higher capacity. But there is something pretty cool that you're actually like getting down and into a sub as your ride vehicle. Like, that's something that I don't really think about, because I always think about the negatives that go with that, with how it's the uncomfortable little seat things and how it gets kind of stuffy in there. And
you don't like being about a bunch of people. Yeah,
sometimes it's a little too close to people that I don't know. And, you know, so I just think of all the negatives that go with that. But it is really cool that you get to, you know, when you don't focus on the negative, just if you focus on just what, you know, what it is, it's a really interesting and unique experience.
Well, guests have two more spots in Disney California Adventure to take a look at wait times, a definite win for people avoiding using the mobile app. It's good to not have to always look at the app, right? The display screens near Spider-Man and Radiator Springs Racers are new wait time monitors for the park's busy attractions, just like the one by Carthay Circle.
I thought this was a nice update and a nice use of space, because the one that it's over right as you walk into DCA, you go past the fountain and you're just kind of going forward back towards Cars Land to then go to Pixar Pier and, you know, that kind of main.
This is like where they always put the
that used to be Fast Pass distribution. That was like a Fast Pass distribution.
But they keep using it for Magic Key.
Yep, they've been using it for like Magic Key specific seating areas, that sort of thing. So I just think it's a nice use of space. Mm-hmm. I don't think I put this in for this week, but another thing that I thought was nice that they used an updated old kiosk area for was over in Disneyland and Frontierland. They were doing some work on where the Fast Pass kiosks had been for Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, and now they've turned it into stroller parking, which I think is nice because there's strollers everywhere. So it's nice to kind of have them have a new dedicated parking spot that isn't just along the rivers or along the walkways. It's, you know, kind of like it's like its own little stroller parking lot. So I thought that was a nice use of space there. Well, the Main Street Electrical Parade may be set to glow away again on September 1st, but not before one more celebration. Over in the Esplanade, guests can take in a custom-wrapped Honda HR-V in honor of the 50th anniversary of the parade. It's complete with characters, colors, and even a giant snail on top. No word on how long this display will be out.
Teresa, I can see you driving this car around.
I would 100% drive this car around. It's actually... this is going to sound so bad. I mean, the snail, I probably wouldn't drive with the snail on top is amazing, but I probably wouldn't drive with the snail on top. I feel like that would get like bumped or something. But I really like this. I think it's very, it looks, to me, it looks really nice because it's a black vehicle with all the pops of color from the parade. So I just think it's super fun.
Yeah, this is cute. I like it. I do think there's a couple weird things. First of all, I think that it's strange that the electrical parade's been back for a while now and they're just now putting this there.
I think there's a couple of reasons for that. I think it's same thing with there's a ton of electrical parade merch that's now hitting shelves. I think it was just something that was planned and was supposed to have been there the entire time, but due to supply chain issues or who knows what, there was a delay on it. So it's same thing with all the merch that we're seeing come out now for Main Street Electrical.
So you know what this first reminded me of when I looked at it? Most of you probably don't know about this, but if you've ever been to Wisconsin, if you've been to the Wisconsin Dells, there's a pizza joint there called Moose Jaw, and their delivery vehicles have the giant moose on top of it, and it reminds me of that.
I was a little sad. I'm like, why would this be there? Why would they have this fancy vehicle displayed in the Esplanade?
Is it an electric vehicle?
Maybe it's, I don't know. I was like, oh, maybe it's some sort of cool giveaway. No, it is not a giveaway. So don't get your hopes up like I definitely did. They are not giving this vehicle away. It's simply just a promotional item, which made me a little sad. I was like, how cool would that be if they gave away the Main Street Electrical Parade HRV? There is like a what is it called?
QR code.
There is a QR code stand next to the vehicle that when you scan it takes you to Honda's website to tell you all about the HRV.
Well, Disney's spooky season is never complete without appearances and merch featuring The Nightmare Before Christmas, and we've got some already. Bones Coffee is collaborating with The Mouse with 5 unique blends of coffee. Try Rough Weather, The Pumpkin King, Mudslide Boogie, Frog's Breath, or Santa Jack, available at a link in our show notes. Each bag, $17. I saw you post this in the thing, and I was like, great, it's just for Teresa. It's Nightmare Before Christmas and coffee.
Oh my gosh.
Are you ordering some of this?
This is the problem now, because I want all of them, and you can't just buy a, like...
sampler?
Why? I feel like this is a missed opportunity. You should be able to buy, like, the collection. They should have, like, a deal if you buy all 5. But, of course, you have to pay full price for all 5 and drink it up. But they look so fun. So, first of all, I don't know if anyone here... I know it's not Disney-specific, but Bones Coffee. I just love the designs that they do for the bag. So, of course, the designs that they did for Nightmare Before Christmas are just spooktacular. Rough Weather is themed to none other than Zero. So, it's a picture of Zero lighting the way for the reindeer for Jack. The Pumpkin King is, of course, Jack in his Halloween form with basically it looks like he's standing at the entrance to the graveyard with some jack-o'-lanterns. Mudslide Boogie, of course, Oogie Boogie themed. Frog's Breath is themed to Sally. And then Santa Jack, of course, is the Santa version of Jack Skellington. But they're all different flavors of coffee. So Rough Weather is an oatmeal cream pie. The Pumpkin King is a pumpkin pecan praline. Mudslide Boogie
is a chocolate combined with coffee liqueur, vodka, and Irish cream.
Frog's Breath is a chocolate mole.
And the Santa Jack is a cranberry creme brulee.
I'm excited about
these. I wish I drank coffee. I love the smell of coffee. I just don't drink coffee.
But look, Teresa, really,
if you ordered all of them, you'd get free shipping because it'd be over $75.
I mean, at least there's that bonus. Well, you may have seen Chicago turn its river green for St. Patrick's Day, but guests were surprised to hear the water in the Jungle Cruise turned pink. Something happened to cause a daytime cleaning of the rivers, shutting the ride down for some time. Once the color returned to the expected jungle green shades, guests were welcomed back aboard. I'm so glad that people were able to snap photos of it.
Yeah, it looks like they should color this for like Valentine's Day or something.
It's like a I don't know, like vibrant pink.
It is very vibrant.
It's not like a Pepto-Bismol pink, but it is a very pink. And I don't know if it just looks extra pink because of all the greens from the jungle or if it truly is just that vibrant, but it's wild. But basically, this was intentional. This is some sort of cleaning agent that they used to be able to clean and like sanitize the water. So for some reason, I haven't heard an announcement. Rumor has it there was like a pipe that some like sewage pipe or some sort of yucky water pipe that leaked into it. So that's why they had to do this in the middle of the day. This is something that they routinely do, just not normally when the park is open and guests can see it. So this was pretty wild.
Well, and it looks like during this time they weren't running boats. It looks like the pictures that we have here, everybody's kind of off.
Could you imagine? I would have paid extra to go through the Jungle Cruise with pink water.
You are a germaphobe. I don't think you'd be riding this.
I wouldn't be touching the water.
That's true.
I would just be in my boat.
Somebody did comment on...
Could you imagine the backside of water
with
this pink?
Somebody commented on Twitter that I thought was pretty funny that they said gender reveal.
Oh no.
Somebody's doing a gender reveal.
Oh, man, it was wild. Again, I'm so happy that people were able to snap photos of this because it's just not something you see every day for sure.
Well, another food service venue is adding mobile ordering. Rancho del Zocalo is swapping half of its ordering space to mobile order pickup. Tuesday the 26th, it started.
You know, some people seemed surprised online. Some people were kind of upset about this and they were thinking it was going to cause issues to the efficiency. However, since COVID, the times that you and I have been, they've only had the one side open. The side that's now converted to mobile order had not been open any of the times we were there. So they were already kind of operating at this half capacity, you know, like half standby capacity. But so again, it's not that this is the only way that you can order Rancho. This is just an option. You can still walk up and order your tacos or order your burritos, like you have in days gone by. But this is just yet another option. So I'm curious to see how this will go.
I like this because this is one for me. This was one of the locations that was larger that didn't have mobile order. Yeah. I was surprised because when we were there, I was like, oh, they don't have mobile order. You actually have to order like the old time.
Yeah, the thing that I think is going to be a little interesting and maybe a little difficult is remember how the setup originally was. You had the first counter, which was, I'm remembering this not correctly, so forgive me.
There but was
the
like
first
different
counter
food.
Was like tacos and burritos, we'll say. And then like the middle counter was salads and nachos, we'll say. Sure. And then the far left counter was if you did any, like some of the extra stuff. So like the horchata cold brew mm-hmm. was where, you know, you got that kind of off to the side. There may be when they would have like seasonal and special desserts, you'd get it way off to the side. So I'm wondering how that's going to work. Food wise, I think it makes sense. But if you're ordering, say, an horchata cold brew, mm-hmm. how is that going to work since that was a different station before? So there's a couple things that I'm curious to see how it works out. But I'm sure they have a plan. I'm just very curious.
Yeah. And I think it's a plus. And let's just hope that this doesn't make the standby line like 1,000,000,000 miles long.
I feel like it shouldn't because it's been just the one half for some time. So, yeah.
Cross our
fingers. We'll see. Well, it looks like the paint job on Ralph Brennan's Jazz Kitchen is winding down. Most of the outside now features a white color with gray trim. Guests can still see some orange around the balconies, but the concept art from the Downtown Disney revamp is saying that the remaining orange will be going away. So again, if nobody knew, they started painting. I don't think we reported on this when they started. They started painting Ralph Brennan's, a week or two ago. More to that, I'm going to say it, bland exterior, mm-hmm. Which I
don't like this retheme.
You know, I will say this. If they left it alone, how they have it, if you're looking at the Jazz Kitchen, you've got kind of got the two sides that look like, I don't know, flanks or like bookends. And then you've got the middle, which is where the balcony area is and where the front door is. If they left it as is here with the two sides being the white and gray, with the middle still being the orange with the green, I'd be more okay. Mm-hmm. But eventually the whole thing is going to be just kind of washed out in the white and gray. And I'm not looking forward to that. I really am not.
To me, this Jazz Kitchen, like the one thing I like about Ralph Brennan's and why I wanted to eat there, I have not eaten there still. I'd like to have eaten there when it still had all of this theming because it felt like I was in New Orleans. It's like being in New Orleans Square. Mm-hmm. But now they're going with this like contemporary modern kind of design. I don't really like it. It looks like
it could be anything.
It looks like a California pizza kitchen.
You could put anything in there and that's would true. Work. I feel like they stripped it of its charm and of the
theming.
Fun. The food's excellent, but you know, a lot of the ambiance and decor just really kind of made the place what it was. So this was the one piece that I was dreading. And unfortunately, it is the first thing that we as guests are really able to see. Yes, of course, we saw them demolish the buildings mm-hmm. at the far end, but this one just, I don't know, it just stings a little bit more for me.
Well, Disney employees have a new option for their education. The Aspire program, which offers 100% paid tuition, now partners with the California State University Fullerton and Fullerton College for in-person classes in addition to the already online options available. 13,000 cast members and employees already use the program.
I didn't realize that many people utilized it. So there's been estimates, of course, we're never going to find out true numbers, that there's about 30,000 people employed at Disneyland. So with 13,000 of them taking advantage and utilizing this program, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. And, you know, we've talked a bunch of times about how cast members maybe like don't get paid the best or there's not a lot of benefits and stuff like that. But it's really, you know, main gate pass entry and all of that stuff. So it's nice that there's something like this that helps pay for tuition in person, not just online in the area down there. So that's awesome. It's mm-hmm. it's nice that they're offering this benefit.
Your attention, please. DL Weekly Trivia is now leaving for a Grand Circle tour of the Magic Kingdom. With stops at New Orleans Square, Mickey's Toontown, and Tomorrowland. All Weekly Tiers, board!
Hello and welcome to Trivia Land. I think this week might be a bit of a doozy for you, but we'll see, because you know we'll still have a good time. Because as Paint the Night taught us, it's always a good time. Your first question this week, how many Doom Buggies are estimated to be in the Haunted Mansion?
We've had this before and I don't remember.
How many Doom Buggies?
I've found two answers online that are within one of each other.
Holy
so,
buckets.
There's some leeway given for you.
295.
Wow, that's a lot. Because I'm thinking, like, how many are in that one little section?
A lot.
Like, when you're boarding, there's probably, like, 10? So 10, 20.
At least.
225, Bob.
225, got it. Our second question this week comes from listener Scott G. While riding It's a Small World, you will see a recurring object in every room of the attraction. What is the recurring object? And if you want to explain what it represents, that would be great.
It's the sun. I think it's because in the song they talk about there's just one moon and a golden sun.
Yeah. Well, I will hitch my small world boat to yours. And the thing was, what does it mean?
Yeah, if you want to explain what it represents, that's a swell addition.
It represents that we're all under the same sun. We're all part of the same planet, right? I mean, I guess you can't tell us, right?
Which but, is a reference I mean, you might to be. The song.
All right, our third question this week. In what order do the characters make their first appearance in the Incredicoaster?
Ooh.
So it's
well, so
Edna,
we've got Edna and Jack.
And then it's the last... No, and then it's Flat... what's the kid's name?
Dash.
Dash. I mean, you hear... Is hearing good enough?
No, I want physical appearances.
Oh. Physical appearance.
Well, then it's Elastigirl, right? Because she's at the, or no. Yeah, Elastigirl's at the top of the first.
Yep, Elastigirl. Isn't it also Dash in that tunnel?
Well, because he runs down the water and the water does the thing, but I don't know if I ever see Dash in there.
And then you see Mr. Incredible.
Mr. Incredible, because he's cookie. And then in the last tunnel, Violet. You see Violet. So where's Dash? Maybe you just hear Dash.
I think he's in that first tunnel. I feel like that. Oh, I counted those one of the times around there. I don't remember how
it's
many there are, but I didn't
count.
That is hard to do.
I think it's Mr. Incredible, Dash, and then Violet.
I'm gonna say Elastigirl.
No.
Whoa.
No. He's nope. Okay. It's Edna
and Jack because it's Edna. Baby is gone.
I know. Then it is Dash because I remember. This is gonna sound like such a weird, creepy thing to remember.
Okay. Oh, looking up into
because
the tunnel.
Because it was when they were creating it.
Yeah.
I was standing on the ground looking up into that tunnel.
Okay.
And you can see him from the ground.
Yep.
Jack,
I'll go. Yep.
Jack,
yep.
Dash.
Elastigirl. Mr. Incredible.
Mr. Incredible. And Violet.
And then more Jack. And then more Edna.
Are we supposed to?
I only care about first appearance.
Okay.
All right. Our last question for this week is me being lost in the park. I pick up my mobile order, Tip Yip, and maybe a cold brew calf for Teresa.
Good job.
And I head northeast towards a furry friend of mine.
I'm so bad with directions.
towards a furry friend?
A furry friend of mine.
Furry friend.
Okay.
I take a turn to my right, but before I leave town, I'm a little skittish that local law enforcement has it out for me.
Okay.
I mean, they're kind of like pointing at me and saying mean things. So I take another right down an alley and pop into the first store on my right to hide out for a while. Where am I?
Is that the droid depot?
Oh. I was going to say it was Doc... No. I think it's the droid depot. Yeah, droid depot.
All right. That's it for our trivia questions this week. We'll find out if the Force was with these two or not after our discussion topic this week.
Well, this week, we are just beyond excited to have joining us tonight... Terry Harden. Now, you guys have heard us talk about Terry before. We were so excited to meet her at the Disney Anna convention this past spring. And she just has so many wonderful stories. She's just a ball of energy. And we're so excited that she gets to be the first Imagineer that we talk to on DL Weekly. So welcome, Terry.
Hello to DL Weekly. How are you both today?
Better now. I mean, we're so honored that you... have agreed to be on our show, and I'm sure our listeners are going to have a blast. Mm-hmm. I will warn everybody, we have no idea how long this interview is going to go. It might be two episodes, it might be three
episodes. It's going to be amazing.
But it's going to be amazing. And what better person to start it off with, right? Because, Terry, you have got, you are just a ball of enthusiasm and energy, and we're excited to talk to you. So let's start like we do at the beginning with everybody else. Tell us your Disney story. What got you interested in Disney or Disneyland? Of course, we're a Disneyland podcast. You can be as detailed as you like with this. Maybe how you started for working for Disney, if you did, and your love for the things like that. So where did you get your beginnings with Disney, I guess, and your love for Disney?
Well, I think the best thing I can tell you is I was a little girl. And when I was a little girl, I'm mixed races. So I'm half black and I'm half white. And it was at a time when Rosa Parks, my parents met at a time when being black and white wasn't necessarily cool, you know, mm-hmm. and the marriage was not allowed in California. I'm a native Californian. It wasn't allowed. It wasn't allowed. I can't think if there were any states that it was allowed.
Oh, wow.
But in California, we always think of ourselves as very, very flexible and liberal. Well, they weren't back in 1956. I was born in 1957. And so I was born and raised in California, and California is about Disneyland. So I don't remember exactly where the pin dropped, but I do remember I was about 4 years old and my parents were both like, woohoo, let's take our daughter to Disneyland. Now, I had seen Peter Pan. This is important because the first thing I did, or the first thing my mother did, was thought it would be great to get a picture with Captain Hook. So imagine you're a little kid and your mother starts to take you towards the bad guy. It's not Tinkerbell. It's not Peter. It's flipping Captain Hook. So I am a little scrapper, mostly a tomboy, and I began to beat the Evan Lovin' dog manure out of this poor Captain Hook person because he was the bad guy, you know?
Right,
and
yeah.
I kept saying, I was, you know, screaming and flailing, and I don't even remember if they had antlers. But can you imagine being Captain Hook? You're just like, what is the matter with this woman, you know?
This I'm getting beaten up by a four-year-old. What's happening here?
And I'm like, I look at my mom after I'm done. They peel her away, and I think the handler says, you know, it may be a good idea to take her to see Peter Pan or Tinkerbell. You know, maybe Captain Hook isn't the best idea. And so there we are. So that was my first poor Disneyland. You know, can you imagine, you know, our daughter is banned from Disneyland.
At four years
yeah. old. I mean, you know, so that's how awesome. I was introduced to Disneyland and how Disneyland was introduced to me.
You know, I'm impressed that didn't like create some like terrible scar and made you not want to go back. I could see how a kid could be like, no, I'm not just going back there.
I'm just thinking how entertaining
story.
Would have been to be like in line to see Captain Hook. And this four-year-old's like beating up Captain. Like, what is going on over there?
I love it.
I'm really excited for this next question.
It's honestly like Captain Hook meets the Tasmanian devil.
Oh. You know?
And it was like, I just felt so sorry for them. They probably had to, you know, recuperate underneath the park or whatever. Like,
I'm going
to
go take a break now.
And then I think what really saved it for me was my dad said, you know, let's try something else.
Yeah.
And he took me on the Dumbo Flying Elephant ride. And Mr. Toads. And so I think those were my redeeming attractions. But I just every time I think about that, I think this poor, now that I know what I know, I feel really bad.
So have you and Captain Hook made up? Have you gotten your picture taken with Captain Hook since then?
Oh, heck no.
Still holding a grudge.
I go directly to my favorite character, which is Tigger.
There you go.
You know, I feel like you and Tigger kind of have that kind of bond because at Disneyanna, you were bouncing around like mm-hmm. Tigger, very energetic. So
Tigger's been my namesis since I was about five.
Uh-huh.
And when I got married, my husband's stepson, who was eight, and we went to Disneyland and we took a picture together. And then people go, oh, you took your stepson to see Tigger. And I was like, no. He took me to see Tigger.
That's awesome. That's so cool. So, Terry, when you enter Disneyland, when you go and visit the parks on your first day of a visit, which way do you like to go? Do you like to go left towards Adventureland? Do you go forward through the castle onto Fantasyland, hang right to Tomorrowland? How do you attack the park?
Now, let me ask you, what age am I?
Oh, okay. We'll do current day.
Current.
Okay. Because current day, it's like being in a wedding procession. If you hum to yourself, or a graduation. Da, mm-hmm. na, 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 na. So I am step together, step, step together, step. Now, this isn't because Terry likes to step together, step. It's because let's take the birthday, which was yesterday. Mm-hmm. My friends were going to meet me. I have a group called Terry's Tribe. They were going to meet me at Coke Corner. I always tell people I'm at Coke Corner. If you want to come and see me, I'm this time to this time. Feel free to come and say hello. Don't be afraid. I love people. But there are so many along the way that know me already.
Oh, yeah.
That it can take 2 hours to get from the train station to Coke Corner.
Yeah.
And this is just because I don't think that anybody of any level of celebrity, whether it's minimal or maximum, should not take the time to talk to somebody who's out there. They just want to say something nice and kind. And if you say, no, why don't you meet me over at the, look, I can't. So yeah. It can become very challenging for someone who is, quote unquote, my handler or something, because I want to stop and say hello to people and visit with people. And so when people go, oh, I want to go to Disneyland with you, I'll say, like, not on the birthday, you don't. Because you're going to get frustrated and angry, because I will stop and talk to every single person that says hello if they want to have a quick conversation. So that's today. As a child, it was a full sprint to one of two attractions. Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, because I could go to hell and live to tell about it. I remember I was 7 and just said, I just been back from hell. My church was like, what? I love going to Mr. Toad's because you go to hell. Mm-hmm. And then you come back and you can talk about it. And it's hot down there, but I made it. I survived. And I know my church was, oh, dear. But then the other one was the Jungle Cruise, because I love animals. And from a very young age, I drew and created all kinds of animals. And so my parents would synchronize their watches, and then they would let us go wherever we wanted. And then we'd meet back for lunch. And I was always, if they couldn't find me, they went Jungle Cruise, you know, because I just went round and round and round and round on Jungle Cruise forever. And if I had a sketchbook, I sketched the animals.
Oh.
And I was 8 when I started that.
Wow.
Our two producers are very much like you. Vern and James both love the Jungle Cruise. Yes. But they like all the corny jokes, I think, mostly, is their draw to that attraction. So that kind of maybe even answered our next question, which is, what's your favorite attraction now? Even though this is a Disneyland podcast, you can choose any attraction from any Disney park. I will say, since you have designed some of these attractions, you know, maybe if you're going to pick something of your own, what's that? And then what's a favorite that's something you did not work on?
Well, here's a girl who tells people, if the door opens, go through it, figure it out later.
Mm-hmm.
It's my biggest thing. If you're out there and you're saying, how can I become an Imagineer, or how can I do what I want to do? How can I do what I love? Make sure you're open to opportunity, and don't let that voice or anyone keep you from doing, you know, tell you how to live your life. I mean, there are so many people who are the first, and it's not necessarily because they're all mean. It's that they're your parents, and artists have, you know, a lot of people think of a broke artist. Well, first of all, get that out of your head. That's no such animal. At 8 years old, I was designing things. And I can tell you that story if you want to. But the point is that my parents never told me that you don't make money. They just said, you know, create it and we'll, and you don't know, you could go forward. So always go through that door. My favorite attraction, which you probably will ask later, and I will tell you that I did create, was Dragon's Lair in Paris. Of course, I love dragons. I've loved them ever since I was knee high to a grasshopper. So of course, that's going to be the favorite. But Disneyland is my park. I loved the fact that I might see Walt Disney at any time when I was a little kid. I might not approach him because he was at an entourage of people, but I did get a glimpse of him. And then the fact that my ride has changed today. I used to love pirates until they put that ridiculous female pirate in the place of the redhead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one, you know, why is it when you have a female character, at least, forgive me, Disney. Uh-oh, catalytic converter is coming off. that this pirate is apologizing for being a female pirate. I'm sorry. Yeah. She's in a weird, submissive, you know, she's not standing straight and tall like the redhead did. She's like, I'm sorry. I'm real sorry. I'm an evil pirate. I mean, what is the deal with that? So I can't ride the ride anymore because I hate that they have food in the hands of the people. So the pirates are chasing food and it's frustrating to see a female pirate. There are some really scary, aggressive female pirates for real in history. So if you're going to do a female pirate, let her be a female pirate, like the real thing. And it's just very sad for me because I love that ride. I've sculpted so much from it for others. And it's just a heartbreaker that there are certain things that you want to go la, 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 because it upsets you the way that they're so worried about being PC. So again, if you go to France, the French say, oh no. They do not have food. Pirates do not have food. Parfois, forget it. You know, so they won't do it. They. So I like riding pirates in Paris because there's no food. So you know, that's the thing. But now I think it's got to be the Haunted Mansion.
Well, there you go, Teresa. Another person classic. To add to the list.
It's so good. It's so good.
I always ask people when they say pirates or Haunted Mansion, because they're classic attractions, mm-hmm. they're iconic, all of that stuff. I always ask people when they pick those, why that attraction for you? Like, what is it about the Haunted Mansion that to you makes it your favorite or makes it stand out above anything else?
I'm about to give you the Imagineering answer. Okay? One of the things that irks me, and for all of you listening out there, please understand, no catalytic converter on my mouth, what makes me a very lovable Imagineer, because I will always tell you the truth.
That's what we love about you, Terry.
Thank you. I'm just not going to be this person that if you ask me how to become Imagineer, it's true. Yes, you should draw and yes, you should study. Mm-hmm. But there's something else in that formula, and we'll talk about that later. But let's get back to your question. Why the Haunted Mansion? People say whenever they destroy Disneyland, and I'm saying destroying, they are ripping out rides that are classic rides to put in modern things. Mm-hmm. And their go-to phrase is, Walt Disney said he welcomed change. One of the changes I'm sure Walt Disney didn't welcome is dying. I don't think he sat up one day and said, woohoo, I get to die. Okay. This is a very important thing that we must remember as an Imagineer, mm-hmm. is that he wants change within reason. Haunted Mansion changes with thought, with charm, with love. When they change the Haunted Mansion, I feel like every Haunted Mansion fan is in the heart of an Imagineer who makes those changes. For example, we never had the bride in there. Mm-hmm. And now we go through that attraction and we see what the history of the bride is all about.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you know, Teresa, it's delightful. It's absolutely pop your shoes off your feet. Wonderful.
Yeah.
But they don't stop there. Somebody, somewhere of Imagineering level said, we gotta get this hat box working.
Yes, yes.
And they really listen. See, I believe Walt wants change without erasing classic attractions that you will not find in Disneyland. What people need to understand is Disneyland is the only place Walt walked.
Yes, yes.
And every time you erase something, you rob people who were children of taking their children to get a peek into Walt's mind. Oh. They could actually walk through what Walt was thinking when he was designing Disneyland. You want to change things? You want to alter things. You want to make things more modern. You want to put a Starbucks in the middle of Main Street. Do it anywhere but Disneyland. You can. We've got, what, six other parks, five other parks? Put it there.
Right.
Walt didn't go there. Walt wasn't there. You can even put it in the California Adventure Park. But Disneyland needs to be preserved because every time you take something out, we lose Walt. Mm. And you can't put Walt back.
Right.
And so you really need to do what they do with the Haunted Mansion. And consider developing the ride. You know, here's an Imagineer who said back then, Hatbox Ghost was impossible. Imagineers wept because they couldn't put it in there. This guy said, but technology has changed.
Mm-hmm.
And when they put it in there, what did y'all do? Complain? No, you cheered. You started screaming, when do we get merchandise? When do we get to celebrate this? You see, if people would just look at the fans, they wouldn't have to work so hard. And this is why I like this attraction best at the park right now, because I think it really shows thought and caring and understanding of what Disneyland is.
See, this is what I am so excited to talk to you about, because you just made me think of Disneyland through a completely different lens than I've ever thought about it before. That makes me reconsider things. Like, if anybody who's listening to the podcast knows, I don't like the Autopia. I think the Autopia takes up a lot of space. I think it's annoying. I don't particularly like it as an attraction. I know little kids do. I know that there's a lot of fans that listen. But going through the lens you just said of, if you take that out, you lose another piece of Walt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's an argument that I feel like validates that staying there.
Yep.
And that's something, because that's an interesting way to look at it. Now, I feel, you know, things have got to change. You got to add new things. Disneyland can't just always stay the same. You can't just have the same attractions and add little bits here and there. You got to add some new stuff sometime. But maybe you're right. Maybe like California Adventure is where all that happens at the resort. And Disneyland kind of stays this time capsule of Walt that you still update. Like you said, Hatbox Ghost, mm-hmm. those kind of things. But still maintains a lot of that charm and authenticity of Walt. That's really fascinating to look at it that way. I think our audience is going to think that's really interesting,
yeah.
too.
Paige and Teresa, if young people hated nostalgia, that might be something. But I'm finding that young people are so into the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
They're so into the retro. They're really loving. They're calling it retro. They're wearing 50s clothes. They're doing 80s stuff. Why? Because those are cool times. I grew up during those times, wasn't necessarily the coolest to grow up in them all the time, but I understand when you revisit it and the big earrings and the loud colors and the bell-bottom pants, I mean, it's all coming back. So if that's all coming back, leave Disneyland alone. Let Disneyland progress, grow. So for example, Tony Baxter's walking through the castle exhibit at Disneyland, and he realizes that there's a false wall. He looks at the plans. He says, wait a minute. So he goes up in there one day and busts that wall back, and he discovers that they covered up years ago this beautiful tour of the Sleeping Beauty Castle.
Really?
So he and the Imagineers use new technology, and we have what we have today.
Mm-hmm.
All it takes is it can be done.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be erased. The thing that offends me more than anything is you don't need to say Starbucks Marketplace. It should be Marketplace by Starbucks.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Small World presented to you by Bank of America. He did have people sponsor attractions. Absolutely. I'm not offended by that. What I don't like is people coming in and labeling their brand in a park that just completely, it feels like, is ignoring Walt Disney.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm only saying it for our little park. And I really appreciate it, Tage, that you said what you said, because I'll get people who love Walt Disney World and they'll walk into Disneyland and go, what's the big deal? It's so small. You can see it in an afternoon. And I say, you need to go back and study to understand why you're here. Because in Florida has a look. I mean, Walt Disney World is amazing. And it's not, you know, you don't have to be in the camp Walt Disney World or the camp Disneyland. I don't even know why people even choose that. They're both special. but she'll never walk in Walt's footsteps in Florida.
Right. Mm.
Right. It won't happen ever. But you can come to the park at Disneyland and walk in Walt's footsteps, providing they stop erasing stuff. There are some things they need to just improve, polish, create, because technology grows and you can make things very interesting and wonderful without killing it. So to answer your questions, one of the things they wanted to get rid of was a submarine ride.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We rose up like beasts and said no. But the attraction today is mostly like a video game. So inside, it's not as fun. I would really like to see the mermaids and swimmers underwater. Mm. So many things have changed. Materials have changed. Technology has changed for underwater swimming. You could do some killer stuff. But I think it's, if you do that, you have to hire professionals to swim underwater. You're going to have to invest a little bit of money to make that park special. But if you don't have to continue to come up with a bunch of brand new innovative rides, you have the opportunity to pay some people to give you some really cool experiences. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think makes Disneyland special, is to have those experiences that remind you of what he saw through his eyes. You know, Tomorrowland's revamp is one of the biggest mistakes in history.
Yeah. Yeah. And everyone's hoping for it to come back.
It's true.
Oh yeah, because look how they're designing Downtown Disney. Have you seen those sketches?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's right out of the 50s again.
Yes, uh-huh. It is.
So they're doing Tomorrowland in Downtown Disney. So why don't you just, you know, stretch your area and bring Tomorrowland back and put the rocket ships back up in the air.
Yes.
Why you put them on the ground? I know why you did, because you wanted to get more people through. You didn't want them going up and down that elevator. But hello, guys, that was the point.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you could ride, I mean, basically now it's like a second Dumbo.
Yeah.
And so when it was up, it was like thrilling. So right now, like if I go to the park, it's like, well, do I ride Dumbo or do I ride that? I'll ride Dumbo. But I would ride both if it was still back up there. That's amazing. Anyway.
You're so much kinder than I am. I think that it's a carnival ride. What did they fold it out? Get it cheap? Decorate it with rocket ships?
Yeah. Right.
You can get that at Magic Mountain.
Yeah.
No offense, Magic Mountain. Those who love Magic Mountain.
Right, right.
But Disney the other parks used to be a very faded wish, and Disneyland was the place. And now, you know, that's just lazy. To me, it's just very lazy. And I remember as a kid, if it rained, the first thing we did was cut class and go to Disneyland so we could be in the rocket ships up in the air and spin around in the rain.
That's awesome.
You know, because you're flying up in the air over everybody in the rain.
Mm-hmm.
So they just need to, I really think if they did that, that people would be so excited to be able to go. There would be no other place for a person to ride that retro stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, why do people really love the monorail? Because it feels like before, even though it's futuristic now.
Right, yep.
So that's all Imagineers will have to do, and we have the ability to do that. So for Disneyland, I'm always fighting to say, stop touching it and stop changing it. And will they listen to me? Chances are no. But the point is that this is why I like certain things like the Haunted Mansion.
So I'm a big Haunted Mansion fan. That's my top attraction. And I've never thought of it the way that you just explained it, but that summarizes it really well as to probably why I like it so much, is because they enhance it. They don't change it. It's small little things that enrich the story and don't necessarily take away or change the story. Like with Pirates,
sure,
you added the movie characters in, so now you've kind of changed what the original story was.
Right.
So, you know, it's, some people would say that was an enhancement, but I feel like that changed the story. Whereas Mansion, they're just making it richer and fuller each time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've got this group of people who I think doesn't have anything better to do. I mean, sometimes it's legitimate when they go, oh, that's so offensive. But how could you possibly, I'm sorry, how could you be offended by that redhead? That redhead was a problem We, as women, we knew any pirate that got her was in for some real hell. I mean, come on. She's got a rope around her and he's auctioning her off and she is just, she's selling it, man. And you know she's going to chew anyone up and spit them out. So why is this degrading to women? A strong and powerful woman who's going to take him out on her own terms. Now we have an apologetic female pirate. How does that empower women? And this is my problem. You know, this is my challenge. You could enhance it. You can make it more interesting, more fun, more, you know, because pirates was done at a time when technology, it was challenging to do certain technological things. And now technology has gone so far, you could really make that killer. Oh, and Tomorrowland could bring back the flying saucers.
Mm-hmm. That was my
ultimate favorite ride when I was a kid. And it was always breaking down because it took computers as big as buildings to make it work. Now it can be a chip.
That's incredible.
It would be, you guys would go, everybody would go gaga for it. Everybody would go gaga for it. The most, it's like riding a hockey puck.
That's a good way to describe it.
Hockey puck. Only you throw it. And as a kid, it would break down and I would sit in it and my dad would say, Terry, we have to go. And I was like, no, it's going to start up again. We have to go, you know, but now that just wouldn't happen. Mm-hmm. That just wouldn't happen. It would be, you know, so you could bring back 1950s, 1960s.
Oh yeah.
Tomorrowland, and the place would be, the people would just go crazy.
Oh yeah.
If there was a way, I would like the buckets, the Skyway buckets, to come back. Those look so cool. I never got to experience. Yes, of course, the people mover. Everybody's really wanting the people mover. There's just so many cool things. I wish they wouldn't have. What was the other weird? Oh, the pirate ship. I wish they wouldn't have gotten rid of the pirate ship in Fantasyland. Mm-hmm. I thought that was such, like, with what Skull a Rock. Fun. Yep, with Skull Rock. Pictures of that look so fun.
Tuna sandwiches ever.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Well, Tara, you know, they kind of recreated that in Paris. So it's like, why would you take it out just to less than 10 years later, do it in Europe?
Do it somewhere else.
Like I said, the French.
Because it was cool.
You can't fight the French. The French are very lovely people, but they have their, Disney tried to tell them they couldn't have wine in the park.
Oh, yes.
How do you think that went over?
Not well.
Super well.
I was just watching that episode of The Imagineering Story, and they were like, they thought it was offensive that they couldn't have wine with their meal.
Yep.
And Disney relented, and wine was in the restaurants.
I mean, who goes into somebody's country and tells them how to live?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like you're telling the French who give babies wine, they can't have wine. Wine is very healthy for you. It's red. I mean, I love Paris, so I'm a big Paris fan. But I really, the thing about the French is that, you know, Disney will say, well, how about this and this? And they say, no. It's just hilarious. And then the Japanese said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to lease the name.
Yep.
We're not going to let you put your feet here. We're going to lease the name. Why? Do you know why? Because they wanted control on the quality of the attractions there. And it's one of the most beautiful parks in the world.
Yes.
Because the most amazing attractions are in Japan.
Money was not a concern there.
Yeah, that's what I always say. I'm like, the Oriental Land Company goes, here, Imagineering, is a blank check. Make us an amazing attraction. And then they make the money back because everybody loves it and thinks it's amazing.
The Japanese said, what if we give you a blank check and you build us a park? What is your vision, Imagineers, of a park? And from that grew Disney Seas. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, your mouth becomes a Venus flycatcher. You walk through the whole thing with your mouth open. You never close it. You never close it. Yeah. And everybody walks step together because you cannot believe the magnificence of the place. And you're like, how is this possible? And the Japanese just ask. They're very detail-oriented. They love detail. They love intricate. They love art. And they really, you know, blow the doors off of, you know, you go to that park and you see little nuances that you go, oh, my goodness, this is amazing.
That I haven't been there. I've only gone to the U.S. parks, but man, every time I see anything about, well, even Paris too, because Paris just looks beautiful.
Paris is the most beautiful park ever.
And Disney Seas just looks, I mean, I feel like all of these places I need to be there for like a month, because I would just want to go through it with like a fine tooth comb and try and see every detail, notice every little
everything.
You
haven't even seen every detail of Disneyland yet. We've been there a bunch of times.
I know.
you will cry. Yeah. You will cry because you will go, my body is vibrating. Because every time I turn around, they're on top of detail as detail, and it's not overkill. It enhances the experience.
Yeah.
And so that's what Imagineers do if allowed to do what they do best, which is enhance your experience.
So with that, Terry, let's talk about your time at Imagineering. We'll start at the beginning, what you were doing before, how you started, how you got in.
You talked about this at Disneyland, and I think our audience would love to hear this because it's a great story.
Well, it shows that I'm a mortal woman. You know, I wasn't, you know, sculpting in the Alps, and Walt came up and said, "You're amazing. Here is a golden contract and you slide down into Disney and everyone loves you." Yeah, baloney. That's all my baloney. That's my baloney version. Now I'll give you the real beef version, which was enough rejection letters to wallpaper my 1,500 square foot house. Mickey, okay, so in the beginning, I just fell in love with Disneyland. And my mother got hired when I was about 12 or 13. She was a word processor. She, you know, now computers were starting to come onto the scene with the very first computer, the Tandy. T-A-N-D-Y. And then Microsoft got hold of it. And IBM. So then IBM, then Microsoft, I guess. I don't know the history. But what I really realized was that, you know, these giant computers with little bitty screens. And people didn't know how to operate them. So they hired a group of people that were their sole job was to convert words from the text on paper into the computer, into documents. And that was my mother's job. She's hired at Disney and she hears they need a voice for Figment. So she says, "I have got the craziest daughter. I think she'd be perfect for this." So my dad was working at a radio station and he recorded my voice. And I ended up being one of the top three children that was flown down to Walt Disney World to compete for the voice of Figment because they didn't want an actor.
Wow.
And then they hired Billy Barty, who is definitely not an actor. But no, I'm teasing. The point is that they ended up going with an actor afterwards. But it was a lovely experience for me. It showed me how much I loved behind the scenes. And I was sitting on the Jungle Cruise and the cast member said to me, "You know, there are people that create this stuff. They're called Imagineers." And I was like, "Excuse me, what?" And he said, "One of the ultimate Imagineers is Blaine Gibson. He's the one that did all these animals, did all these figures." And I was like, what? You know, and bless cast members because they bring the magic.
Oh yeah.
People admire Imagineers, but the reason you love Disneyland, Disney World, any park is because the cast member who's working that park has a real passion for it and they keep the magic alive. So that's why people love Disney, is these cast members just continue and continue and continue to weave the stories that make your history. So then I decided to apply. Well, my mother was working there and she gave me a blue card. The idea with this blue card was that someone from the inside stapled it on a resume coming from the outside and it guaranteed you an interview.
Oh, okay.
Not me.
Oh, no.
Rejection letter came in the mail and Mickey was like, "Not you. Get away. Get lost. No." So I was like, I'm hating this mouse right now. And I started to work instead in the film industry. And I did a couple films, Dune, from 1984 with David Lynch, and then Ghostbusters. Yes. I did Ghostbusters, and from Ghostbusters, I went on to do all kinds of films. I've done tons of films and television, dinosaurs, Captain EO, all kinds of crazy stuff. I mean, Google me, and then your eyes will be like a slot machine, because even I don't believe some of this stuff.
We did. If you look you up on Wikipedia, I about fell over, and I'm like, you were part of Baby Sinclair from the dinosaurs? That was
my
favorite TV show, and he was my favorite character.
And someone the other day pulled up a piece I did for a toy from Mattel, where I was pushing bugs up from sand. I was doing a commercial, and I was also a talking jello mold. I mean, seriously, in my history, you're like, what? This girl's everywhere. Because if the door opened, I worried about it later.
Mm-hmm.
So when Disneyland kept rejecting me, I had a friend who had a shop that made walk-around characters, and I built Charlie Tuna, McGruff the Crime Dog, Smokey the Bear, mostly sculpted heads for them. In fact, if you out like to ski and you go to Mammoth, they're still using my patterns for the elephant, for the mammoth's head.
Wow.
So just the chicken McNuggets from McDonald's, it just goes on and on. So I started to do that because I said, I got to step away from Disney because they're really irritating me right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting tired of all the trees that are killing from rejecting me. And I was making a water droplet for the Los Angeles Water and Power. They wanted a walk around. So I designed this giant walking water drop. I mean, okay. If you can have Orange Bird, you can have a water drop. So I wouldn't complain. And a friend of mine who worked at Disney Tahunga Building walked in and he said, what are you doing here? And I said, I'm waiting for Disney to get a clue. And he is the one that he said, well, Disney really needs people. And I said, no, they don't. They keep slamming the door in my face. So he says, well, let me make a call. He made a call. They looked at my portfolio within an hour. And the whole time they looked at my portfolio, it was expletive, expletive, expletive. Where the heck have you been? And I said, stupid me. I was knocking at the front door. I didn't know I should come in the back.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they smiled. So several interviews later, then I became an Imagineer in Glendale. I started in Rockwork, which was amazing, and built Big Thunder Paris, which is a beautiful Big Thunder. I did it with one other guy and then show producers. It's a team that takes it. It's true. But this one is so beautiful in Paris because you go under the water and you come up on the island of Big Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, really, people just love it because it's a whole new train experience. So that's kind of the thing that makes Paris really, really fabulous, is that their haunted mansion is decrepit. I always thought a haunted mansion should be broken down.
Yeah.
But Walt disagreed. He felt it should be a plantation type bayou one. That's how that one ended up in Disneyland. But in Paris, they thought, like me, it should be kind of falling down. In any case, they're both fabulous. They're both so much fun. Every haunted mansion is a lot of fun and it's different.
And the Paris one is so different. It's, you know, it's kind of the same story, but not the same story at all.
And it's special, very, very special. You go to China, it's not the Haunted Mansion,
right.
It's something else. And everything, and it just, every single one is a joy to be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that we can't do it. It's just that in some cases, I feel that Disney has gotten lazy. But it's not because they just chose to get lazy. It's because fans, and forgive me if you disagree, you're welcome to email me and tell me your side of the story, but you just keep going.
Yeah.
Prices go up. Merchandise is garbage. You keep buying. You keep going.
Mm-hmm.
You keep standing in line. Mm-hmm. And that sends the wrong message to the company.
That is very true, because people, you know, every time prices go up, we say, well, people are still going to buy
it. True, yep.
They're going to grumble, but they'll still, you know, they'll still do it. So yeah, nope, that's very true. So
the lines at Disneyland yesterday, Teresa, went all the way to California Adventure Park.
Wow. I'm sure.
Reservations were the, you know, reservations, being able to do reservations is the best thing that happened to Disney because now they can regulate how many go in.
Yeah.
Yesterday, you wouldn't have thought that they did, but they claim that that's what they're doing. So they can, you know, this is enough people. and draw the line. And then the good news is if you have a reservation, you know you can go in and out.
That's true.
It may take you some time, but at least you're not locked out once mm-hmm. you go out, so you can go and see areas. But just because Disney's able to do that, they should be bringing more experiences. You know, Disneyland, you can only have so much stuff, but people love experiences.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, and even just things like sitting on Main Street or sitting in one of the lands, just kind of being present people in that watching. Space, people watching, looking around, paying attention, watching all the different entertainment. I mean, to me, that the lands in and of themselves are attractions because there's just so much to it versus just I need to get through this space to get to Indiana Jones or, you know, whatever. There's just so many cool little details. Like mm-hmm. if you stand and look at the Jungle Cruise, for example, and look at all the different things that they have placed on top of like the Jungle Cruise in that upper queue area, all the different little details and all that. Mm-hmm. There's so many things that people just don't even notice are there until someone's like, oh, did you have you noticed that? They're like, what? Where'd you see that? Like the elephant or something. Some but people didn't realize that that beautiful elephant was up there for a while.
But the good news is there are people that are noticing this.
Yeah.
It may not be, you know, the average whoever comes to the park and is, you know, in their phone or whatever all day. But it is nice to know, I'm sure, Terry, you can attest to this. When somebody does notice that little detail you added, it probably makes all the difference. Like, maybe not everybody sees it, but at least somebody did.
But you see, the avid Disney fan always does.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And this is the thing. You know, if you are someone who is trying to make a difference, you know, you're the CEO of Disneyland. Let's just put it CEO of Disney. And you're banging your head against the wall because how can I make it fun and entertaining for everybody? Well, Walt used to have the Disney Advisory Committee made up of fans who he asked. And they said, it's mm-hmm. that simple, Tage. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not rocket science. When you want to know, as a sculptor, when I'm going to sculpt something for people, I do this amazing thing that people are so shocked. I ask, you know?
Yeah.
We were shocked that Eeyore is somehow being dissed by Disney right now. Nobody can find Eeyore merchandise. There's like one plush in the back in the corner in the dark. And people were like, we love Eeyore. Mm-hmm. What's the matter? We went to a Disney home center and they had all the characters and no Eeyore.
Oh,
I mean, why are you persecuting one of the cutest little characters ever? Oh, and he's not going to, you know, yeah. It's not much of a tale, but I'm kind of attached to it. So he's not going to stand up for himself.
No, he's not. Poor and there Eeyore. He is being,
so I said to myself, to people, I'm going to have to sculpt an Eeyore because there's people who love Eeyore out there mm-hmm. that are very hurt.
Yep.
How can you have Winnie the Pooh without Eeyore? It's like saying no Christopher Robin.
Mm-hmm. No Tigger.
Yeah, every character is very valuable.
Yes, yes, they are.
So it's one of those things that you kind of say, stop trying to work so hard and ask people who love the park. All of you out there don't love the park because it's fashionable. You love the park because it has joy.
Mm-hmm.
It has kindness. It gives you a chance to feel good and people to do good for each other within the walls of the park.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people, like you said, you people watch. Walt wanted a place where people who were elderly could sit, dance, shop, while their grandkids ran everywhere and rode every ride in the world. Where the teenager could be too cool for school and spin in the teacups. The faster, the better, because, you know, Disneyland is the kind of park that we don't really want to be in. But boy, I love those teacups. We're going to spin them out with you. So there was something for every level, for every culture, for every color. And it was such a wonderful place for everyone to be together, which is why you both say people watching mm-hmm. is so great. It is. It's great. There's a group called the Porch Sitters Club. What do they do? Yeah. Sit on that porch at Main Street.
And that is a coveted spot, too, to get it on the coveted. Porch.
Well, not when the porch sitters are there. You ain't going anywhere right? here if you're not a member. And it's fun to watch the porch sitters sit on the porch.
Yep.
You know, because there's not a lot of porch to sit on. So it's just fantastic to watch pin traders, to watch mm-hmm. people. And you know, being 65, you don't want to say, well, back in the day, son. when Disney was cool, because Disney still is cool. Mm-hmm. But it's just that there's too many people trying to make it cool in what they think is cool instead of asking you guys what's cool. And then they get upset when something isn't a success and they blame it on the character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, they blame it. Oh, that character isn't wanted. No, you just did it wrong.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
That's not true. Don't say that. You're speaking out your hat.
We will continue our discussion with Terry next week.
It's okay. I'll be the only weekly tier without an answer. Make sure you send your questions to Producer James or Producer Vern at trivia@doweekly.net.
Well, welcome back to Trivia Land. I'm looking forward to more from Terry in future episodes, but right now we got to focus on the happy haunts at the Haunted Mansion, because our first question wanted to know how many Doom Buggies are there in the Haunted Mansion. You two both way overshot this. The answers I find online take us between 130 or 131 Doom Buggies.
Well, so we just want double the capacity because it's such an amazing attraction. More double, than double.
Double the capacity of an already huge ride,
yep,
right?
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, pretty impressive for how many guests that thing can take every hour, right? Mm-hmm. Second question from listener Scott G. While riding It's a Small World, you'll see a recurring object in every room of the attraction. What is the recurring object and what does it represent? You are right. I would have accepted the moon or the sun or both of them, because they're both around in a lot of places. And Tag, you explained it just so well. It's there to remind us that no matter where you are in the world, we're all united under the same sun and the same moon.
Which Teresa pointed out was in the lyrics of the song.
Yeah, she just got you there. Trying to give you some credit, man. Teresa's
okay.
Doing the hard work this week.
That's okay.
Our third question this week, in what order do the characters make their first appearance on the Incredicoaster? You got the right way. It's Edna and Jack-Jack first, followed by Dash, Elastigirl, Mr. Incredible, and Violet.
Which we have to give you credit for Creeper in up the tube.
Somewhere there's a picture that I took.
Oh, yes.
I remember this because you were so excited about it. It's like, yeah. Look, there's Dash. Yeah. We shouldn't be able to see him yet, but there he is. And our last question this week is me being lost in the park. I pick up my mobile order Tip-Yip and maybe a cold brew calf for Teresa and head northeast towards a furry friend of mine. I take a turn to my right before I leave town, but I'm a little skittish. That local law enforcement's giving me the eye. So I take a right down an alley and pop into the first store on my right to hide out. Where am I? Most impressive, you two. We are at the Droid Depot.
Woo-hoo! I'm shocked.
You know Galaxy's Edge way better than I give you credit for. So well done. A great week for the two of you.
Woo! We didn't do too bad.
I promised producer Vern I'd stump you, so I let him down a little bit. So that means we probably need some help from the listeners to get some better questions, since mine were apparently too easy. So send an email to me or producer Vern, and hopefully we can put some of your stumper questions in here, or some nice ones if you're feeling it. Our email is trivia@dlweekly.net.
Well, we will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
Until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Please remain seated until the podcast comes to a complete stop and the doors have opened. Then collect your belongings, watch your head, and step carefully from the episode. On behalf of all of our crew, thanks for traveling with us, and we hope you have a happy and memorable visit here at DL Weekly.